Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
.909 on KDXU. Good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in to the program today. Mello is here as well. Mello, we missed you last week. You
doing all right? Yeah, I'm doing great. Good morning.
Yeah. So yesterday was a sad day, the anniversary, the 24-year anniversary of 9/11 and what happened there, and kind of a bad event that helped the country after the fact, kind of at least for a decade or so, really come together and unite. And seems as though, given the development of the last couple of days, that maybe there's a little more divisiveness back in it. But before we get to all that and who the guy was, and by the way, they have arrested someone who they believe committed the murder the other day of Charlie Kirk. Let's talk about 9/11 a little bit. Now, you were able to go last night. Tell us about your experience last night over there at Historic Town Square.
It was really beautiful program there. I was the MC, and we had the mayor was there. Mayor Randall spoke, and she was a little tender because she was very upset about the Charlie Kirk situation and also with 9/11. She was just really feeling all the feels.
Yeah.
And then Victor Guzman was a speaker there. He was on the 85th floor when the plane struck the tower.
Can you imagine that? He was there. He was above where the plane hit.
Yes.
I mean, wow.
And the first responders came up and helped them down. And he said growing up in Brooklyn is what trained him to just pick up and run as soon as it happened. And that's probably what helped him survive, is just that flight and fight, go, just run, right?
I'm glad he was able to get out, because that is amazing. I know, I mean, you read the stories, and there were people who couldn't get out. Mm-hmm. The stairways were blocked, or there was fire or whatever, and the fact that he was able to get out is incredible, and live to tell the story.
Exactly. And another really beautiful thing was the Dixie Middle and High School choirs performed, and they did some beautiful, beautiful songs. It was all a cappella. It was gorgeous. It was a really nice temperature outside last night. And then they also, at the end, you can walk over to the Field of Heroes. There was a bagpipe. Mm-hmm. John Mayer was there. Not that John Mayer, the other John Mayer from Boston. And he played some songs on the bagpipe, and then you have all of the flags representing each of the people of the first responders that passed.
364 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing.
And then they also retire flags there. And Gil Almquist was there. He was speaking. It was a really beautiful event, and I encourage people to go there next year if they can. It's really good to kind of remember. And it was interesting because Guzman spoke, and he was saying he went and spoke at some schools while he was here, and the kids that are in school right now weren't alive 24 years ago. So to keep this alive, we really do need to share our stories and where we were when that happened and how that felt and kind of how we got back behind the country.
I made the statement at the beginning of the show. It's a sad, horrible event. So were things like World War II and, you know, some of the big tragedies we've had in this country over the years. And unfortunately it happened. Fortunately, coming out of it, usually our country emerges a little more united, a little more resolute, if you will. And but when you think about it now, that was 24 years ago. That means anybody under the age of really 24, they read about it in school. You know, they heard about it maybe from their parents, but that's it. They weren't there. They didn't experience it.
Yeah, it was really, really hard. I was a young adult when it happened, but I had little children, and just watching that hit live on TV was like, what is happening?
You always will remember. There are moments frozen in time where you remember where you were, what you were doing. Ronald Reagan being shot was one of them for me. The space shuttle Challenger blowing up. Those are moments you never forget, what you were doing and where you were. And the 9/11, the attack, the terrorist attack in our country is definitely one of those moments.
Agreed.
So I was, at the time, I was a sports writer. And so I was up late working on sports stories. And so I was asleep when it happened. But my wife called me and she said, she knows that I'm up till 2 or 3 in the morning working. You know, she's not going to call me at 8 o'clock unless something's going on. And at 7:30 or 8 in the morning, she called me and she said, "Honey, you need to turn the TV on."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, sleeping. It's like, no, something big's happening. You need to turn the TV on. And this was when she called me, the first plane had hit. And they at that point, were still speculating. Was this an accident? Because at first, we weren't sure. And she said a plane hit the one of the towers. And I said, was it an accident? And she said, well, they're speculating. We don't know.
Mm.
And then within 30 minutes, the mm-hmm. second plane hit the second tower.
Yeah.
So yeah. We must never forget, Mello.
No, we shouldn't. And I was actually traveling. We were visiting Utah. We lived on the East Coast when that happened. And we had to fly back several days later with our kids back wow. home. And then coming back onto a military base, we lived on a military base, they had like the mirrors under your car. They were checking every vehicle that was coming in and out. It was a little stressful. It was scary.
It was scary, yeah. How old were your kids?
They were like 2, 4, 6, and 8.
Wow, so
yeah.
Really young family.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, well, I'm grateful that St. George decided to do something. I know Hurricane also had a special ceremony for it and raising of this gigantic flag. Now, I haven't seen the flag in person. I need to drive out to Hurricane, but, mm-hmm. I guess they've taken it down. But Mayor Billings yesterday speculated that it was maybe 60 feet long.
Wow.
That is big.
It's a big flag.
Really, really big flag. So, it really is, in my mind, it's really on us that we're alive when that happened to make sure young people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about my own family. You know, I have a daughter who is 23 and a daughter who is 21. They were not alive when
mm-hmm.
that happened.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest is 34, so he was about 10.
Mm-hmm.
His brothers were, you know, maybe 5 and 6 years old, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think maybe at 5 years old, they still aren't quite cognizant. They knew something happened, but they weren't kind of really sure what would happen.
But
so.
I think in school then, like every year, it was a pretty big deal. So I think they kind of got that growing up.
Yeah.
But then.
Yeah, probably so. So.
Dates.
Today is obviously the 12th, the day after 9/11. And again, we've got to really put an effort in. I have grandkids now. They need to know what
mm-hmm.
happened. They need to know who did it and why and what it means to our country to come together like we did. Wednesday, there was an assassination
mm-hmm.
of a political activist by the name of Charlie Kirk, and everybody's heard about it by now. What maybe you haven't heard, number one, they've arrested a suspect, and number two, this one is the shocker to me, that suspect is Tyler Robinson, a 22-year-old from Washington, Utah.
So sad.
You see pictures of him, and you go, hey, didn't I see that kid at church the other day?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just clean cut, tall, thin, good-looking young man, and for whatever reason, he got radicalized and he decided that he needed to stop Kirk. And I can't even, right now, I'm just like, wait, he's from here?
I know.
He's a kid that was raised. I don't know if he's LDS, but technically, maybe, probably 65% chance he was raised LDS.
Mm-hmm.
He is the son of a law enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
So everything about it is like, doesn't make sense, Mello.
I just watched the news conference before I came in here with Governor Cox, and it's mind-blowing that he was from here. Like, we don't want to be on the map for producing somebody who would kill somebody like Charlie Kirk or killing anybody.
Yeah, it just, you know, I heard someone getting interviewed after, it was on, I think it was on the Sean Hannity show,
mm-hmm.
after the shooting, and it was a guy that was at the event, and he says, I'm from Utah, this doesn't happen here.
Yes.
He said, not only do we not have assassinations of political figures, we don't have murders, like it's rare. He says, in Utah County, gunshots fired in Utah County, no, that doesn't happen here. And then, like I said, to find out that this young man is a Pineview High grad, my daughters went to school with him.
Pineview?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It blows me away.
Yeah, I did see on Facebook, I was just doing a little reconnaissance this morning, and he was Utah State student, and he got a scholarship for like $34,000 there.
He went to Utah State?
Is mm-hmm.
that, no, I hadn't heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, that's where I graduated, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Couple connections, dang it.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. So what was his goal? Was his to him, was this a, was it a game? We don't know. We don't know the mind of a killer, right?
Mm-mm.
Was it a game? Like, is this a guy that he probably grew up playing Call of Duty and Fortnite and PUBK, whatever, PlayerUnknown Battleground, BG, whatever. So, in you know, did this kid think, you know, it's just a game, it's just fun, I'm just going to go do this and everybody's going to think it's great and ha, ha, ha? Or did he realize, did he know he was signing, like, signing his own death warrant when he decided to do something like that?
With all the closed-circuit cameras, especially around a campus, I don't know how you could think you would get away with something like that. There's cameras everywhere now.
And he kind of, his behavior after, there's footage that the FBI released of him climbing down from the building and walking through a neighborhood, and he acted like he thought he was going to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question is, if he hadn't, from what we understand, he confessed to his father. His father talked him into turning himself in. That's what the officials are saying. If he hadn't done that, would we have ever caught him?
I don't know. I also saw that his roommate, his college roommate, this was on the press conference, they said that he had communicated to his roommate on Discord and confessed as well.
Really?
Yes,
to his roommate
and told him, like, where the gun was and told him where he was. And
wow.
Mm-hmm. And they have him in his car, too, so they saw the car and they connected it all. They would have caught him without the confession, I believe.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, he at least, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think they eventually would have got him, but I don't think it would have been now. I think he would, if he hadn't told some people what he did, I think it would have taken a while for them to track him down.
Possibly.
Maybe days or weeks. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think you're right. I think eventually they would have found him.
They said 33 hours is how long it took them to get him in custody.
One of the things that is bothersome to me, so, When they first released photos of the shooter, the alleged shooter, they were grainy, they were blurry, they were hard to see. Somebody took the photos and did a digital enhancement on them and then passed them around, so they were circulating around social media. The problem with that, with AI enhancing a photo to make it clear, it didn't look like him anymore.
Right, they guess.
They had altered it, and it did not look like the guy that actually did the crime.
Hmm,
and
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I saw a couple online yesterday, and I was like, I'm glad they got a clear picture. And then I read into it, and they're like, they didn't get a clear picture. They got somebody digitally enhanced them. And like I said, the photo that they came up with digitally enhanced didn't look anything like the shooter to me. They changed his looks quite a bit.
So weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just super grateful that they got him. And I also read, and obviously it's alleged, I don't know if it's going to be true or not, that is it Pat Mahomes has offered to continue helping his widow with finances and their children.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I did
hear
that. I
hope that's true.
I
saw a lot of stuff online about athletes and moments of silence and stuff, and all of that. I'm like, how much of this is true? And I'm not sure, but I'm sure it'll all sort itself out in a little while. I just got a text from my daughter. Pineview class of 2021, that's when she graduated, was crazy. Bomb boy Martin was the same grade. If you remember, was it 2 years ago, 3 years? Well, it would have been in 2021. So 4 years ago, a guy had put a bomb in a backpack and tried to set it off in the commons area, the lunch area,
really?
At Pineview High School. It never went off. It started smoking, and that's when school officials were like, oh, wait a minute, we got a problem here, and they evacuated everybody out to the football field. But same class, class of 2021.
Jeez.
And my daughter's age. And she actually, in we don't know how many moments in our lives were that moment where something very bad could have happened, but we were spared.
Mm-hmm.
Some call it divine intervention, tender mercy. Some call it good luck, whatever. My daughter walked right by that backpack that day.
Really?
She walked right by it. She knew the kid. He was in one of her classes. And then, to boot, when they evacuated him all to the football field, my daughter talked with that kid.
No.
Because he was one of them that got evacuated because they didn't know it was him.
Wow.
At the time. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, who knows, right? What might have happened? I know this is selfish of me, but I think if this kid that they arrested, this Robinson kid, maybe he didn't like talk show hosts and conservative ideals, and maybe he decides to do, instead to Charlie Kirk, he decides to do it to me or to someone here locally. I don't know. The whole thing is very sobering.
It is a sobering thought, right? That even just speaking your ideas on a radio station could get you killed.
Yeah. If his goal was to try to, you know, scare people into there was a very poignant post by my niece and yesterday online. And I'm going to see if I can find it real quick, if that's okay with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I know exactly where it is, so it should only take a few seconds here.
Yeah, and I found on Twitter, it was James Herson said, after Charlie Kirk's death, Chief Star Patrick Mahomes stepped in, pledging to pay all of Kirk's two children's living expenses and education expenses to ease the burden on the Kirk's family.
Okay, this was shared by my niece. She didn't write this, but she shared it online. She said, it's actually terrifying because what just happened to Charlie Kirk, it's the very thing we teach our kids to do every day. We tell them, stand up for what you believe in. Speak the truth, even when it's hard. Don't just blend in with the crowd. Be bold. Be different. But then you turn on the news and see someone's life taken because someone didn't agree with them. And as a mom, that absolutely shakes me to my core. How do I raise kids to be fearless in a world that punishes people for having a voice? How do I teach them to stand tall when I know deep down it could put a target on their back? I want my kids to live with conviction. I want them to walk in courage. I want them to never shrink themselves just to make people comfortable. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't terrified for them, too. It should not cost you your life to believe in something. It should not be dangerous to use your voice. And here we are trying to raise brave children while praying this world doesn't break them for it.
Mm.
It shouldn't be like this.
Wow. That's really sad.
Yeah. You know, my kids are raised. Yours are almost all raised. You got a lot of influence on Maddox right now. So
yes.
Anyway, so I feel like, you know, she's doing exactly what I tried to teach my kids to do.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest son right now is very politically active. He's very conservative, very much a Charlie Kirk supporter and a Donald Trump supporter. And it terrifies me to think that might cost him his life someday because somebody who doesn't agree with him, instead of debating him, instead of arguing with him, instead of, you know, saying, you know, live and let die, do whatever is fine, that person might say, well, I don't like what you say, so I'm going to shoot you.
Right.
That's scary.
Yeah, such a coward way to deal with something instead of using your voice and having that conversation.
Yeah.
Like, the rhetoric is what we're supposed to be using with our freedoms, right? Our freedom of speech.
Yeah. If you have a thought on this, give us a call, 673-5890. Mello will take your call. She'll ask your name. You don't have to give it if you don't want to. You can just say, I'd rather not say. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
In this, what has turned into a very heated political climate, maybe you don't want to give your name. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, give us a call, 673-5890. If you want to text me, 435-467-5842. Let's see. I got a text from Jeanette. Says Spencer Cox is giving a great talk. Did you catch any of Spencer?
I did.
Cox's said it, you will want to listen to it later. So I plan on doing that as soon as I get off the air. Listening to that. Let's see. You got another one. Just basically, yeah. Someone basically they don't give their name, but they're basically saying, yeah, it's made me terrified to be brave. Right? I mean, we thought we got rid of this back in the, you know, think about the founding fathers of our country. They had to be brave and speak out, knowing that it was putting a death warrant on their heads, that Britain wanted them dead. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, it's sad. Now you're putting a death warrant on your head if you're brave and bold and tell the truth. Tell what you feel.
I know. And Charlie Kirk did such an amazing job. If you've gone back and watched any of his interactions, he gives people grace. He lets them say their point of view, and then he just says his point of view. He doesn't demean them. He doesn't call them names.
Right.
He did a very kind job, and he's very Christian, which I appreciated. And even just before he was shot, he professed his love for Jesus Christ, and that was what was important to him. And he even showed that. And they also said that, like, on Sundays, he turned his phones off. He made sure he was back home to take his wife and kids to church.
Amazing.
Like, he was a family man. And it's so sad. It makes me really sad that family doesn't have that strength in their home.
Yeah. There are people out there, sadly, who they haven't come out and said it exactly, but they basically implied that he deserved what he got. And that just, I mean, one of them is a family member of mine. And I I have been told by my wife and others that I am not to respond and talk to this person about politics. And I didn't have to this time because when she posted this stuff, some of my nieces and nephews came to Charlie Kirk's defense and said, look, and basically the gist of what this person posted was, it's sad that Charlie had to die, but, and then a whole bunch of reasons.
Never say the first part.
A whole bunch of reasons why he was such a bad guy. And one of the people, one of the commenters, I think it was my niece, actually said, you know, everything that you said before the but, you disregarded. It's gone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Because once you said but, you didn't really mean the other stuff.
No, you don't. You don't. And I really am loving that companies are taking a stand against people. There were some TikTokers that were actually laughing about his death. Mm-hmm. And those companies that they worked for have since released them and fired them for those comments.
Yeah, good for them.
Because they don't want that representative of their institution.
Yeah, one of them was a PR person for one of the
pro Legal Aid.
Teams. Yeah.
Yes, and for Canada, I think.
It's like, see ya.
Yeah, they're like, no. There is one college professor that I think has not been fired yet.
Yeah, so I haven't. And again, here's the thing, though, Mello, too, that we got to be careful of. You read a lot of stuff online, and you got to be careful to make sure that it's actually true. Because sometimes, I mean, there's a conspiracy theorist here in town, a relatively famous, locally famous one that has all kinds of conspiracies about this whole thing. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just wait and see what the police have to say about this person. And second of all, don't go making stuff up. We don't need that.
Yeah, and that's true because not everything you read online is true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, all right, got a text from Jan. So, also sad for everyone involved and for St. George. Hope always in Christ. I'm almost embarrassed to say that this guy is from my hometown that allegedly did this, but he confessed to it. I don't know if we can have to, do we have to say alleged anymore since he confessed to it? I don't think we do.
I don't know. He could probably retract that.
Yeah, I suppose so. All right, we're going to take a break, weather break, check in with weather. When we come back, we'll try to talk about some other things, or at least some other things that are not quite directly related. But the big news is Tyler Robinson has been arrested for the shooting death of Charlie Kirk, and Tyler Robinson is from Washington, Utah. That's sobering. Yeah, we'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hi, I'm Andy. Thanks for being here. Mello is with me as well. Melody Finlinson.
Hello.
Of the famous Finlinsons.
The Finlinson clan.
I heard your nephew, Isaac, is going to Hawaii. Is that what I heard?
Yes. He got a scholarship and he just married Coach Robertson's daughter.
Roberts. Coach Roberts' daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is cool, and they're going to move to Hawaii. Like,
yeah, I think they're there.
Tough gig, right? I got married, and we're going to go move to Hawaii.
I know. Isn't that great?
Isaac, a great player, of course, at Dixie High and then at Snow College.
Yes.
And now a member of the University of Hawaii Warrior basketball team. That's pretty cool.
I'm excited to watch him play.
All right. Okay, so 9:36 on KDXU. I thought instead of focusing on the shooter guy more is going to come out about him in the coming days, but maybe we talk a little bit about Charlie Kirk and who he was. Number one, you mentioned it, he's a Christian, a man who loved God, who believed in Jesus Christ, who was a follower, who had a wife and kids, and he was raising them that way. And I like what you said about Sunday. On Sundays he wasn't a politician or a conservative activist. On Sundays he was a father and a disciple on Sundays.
He was.
That's pretty cool.
I know. That's awesome. I should turn my phone off on Sundays.
Yeah. So we all should, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because years ago, so used to be want ads, right? You know, you got the want ads, even KSL Classified was popular for a while, but now pretty much if you want to sell something, you go to what?
Facebook Marketplace,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So my wife recently has gotten into Facebook Marketplace, selling stuff on Facebook Marketplace. She loves it. She sold some dresses that she wore once for a wedding, and you know, she was the mother of the bride, and she sold some other stuff, tables and desks and stuff. But we had a bed up for sale. We're converting one of our rooms into a music room, so we're taking the king size bed that was in there out. Mm-hmm. We had it up for sale, and we got, you know, over the week, we got a lot of responses on Friday. People would not show up because, unfortunately, that's the nature of that, right? People would not show up. Saturday, same thing. And then finally, a guy on Sunday said, "Hey, I want the bed. Can I come and get it?" Well, my wife was like, "I don't like to do business on Sunday. I don't like to have people come over to the house and move furniture and all that stuff." And I was like, I never really thought about that. I've always believed in keeping the Sabbath day holy. I don't go shopping on Sunday. I don't go water skiing. So, and everybody has their own beliefs. I'm not condemning anybody that does any of this stuff. It's up to you to create your own individual set of standards, right? Mm-hmm. But my wife, she gave me a pretty good lesson because I was like, hey, Mark, a big deal. I mean, if I have a coin I wanted to sell on Sunday and a guy offered me $20 for this valuable coin on Sunday, I'd probably sell it to him on Sunday. And my wife's like, no, I just don't feel comfortable selling things on the Sabbath.
So did you sell it on Monday then?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we didn't. And you know, it was weird. She kind of looked at me. She's like, I don't feel comfortable selling stuff on Sunday. And she looked at me like, are you cool with that? And I was like, what, are you kidding me? You're setting a really good example for me. Mm-hmm. I just learned something from you, because to me, I would have been like, yeah, just let it go, whatever. But so I think that's pretty cool.
Go Shelley.
You mentioned Charlie Kirk's style. Tell us a little bit about about his style of debating, because I think it's very significant, because we've seen other people debate and it's turned really heated and really mean.
Right.
But he wasn't that way, was he?
No, he would ask, because he would let anybody on the college campus, if they had purple hair or blue hair, if they were transgender, and then he would ask them pointed questions about what they believe, and then kind of walk through what they really believe, so they'd have to question what they believe, kind of. He just had a really good way of doing it, but he never called them names. He never was divisive. He was just, these are the facts. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. And he would step back all the facts. And they're like, no, if I feel like I'm a woman, I'm a woman. He's like, no, biologically, that's not true. So he used logic and facts. And he didn't ever graduate from college. He actually was only a high school graduate, but he was very well-versed and well-read and very intelligent. And so I think he was pretty cool. I liked to watch all of the things on Instagram about him.
How do you want to be remembered? You want to die? Everything just goes away. If you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. Mm-hmm. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
I don't know if you know this, but everyone dies. It's important to remind yourself of that. That you faced God, the judge, and he's going to list everything you did wrong in your life. It's going to be a long sentencing hearing for me. Well, you get justice, which is hell, because that's what we deserve. Mercy, which is less of that, which I'll allow the theologians figure out what that is. Or grace. What is grace? Grace is something so unique, so different, so profound. Which is, as soon as the sentencing's about to be ushered in, someone comes in and says, no, I will serve that prison sentence for him. I will go into the prison cell for him or her so that they can live forever. That's grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't check boxes for it. You didn't go park cars for a ministry and that gets you extra points to go to heaven. None of that's true. It's that it's equally accepted for all people that allow Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Savior of the world, to be born new and to be completely and totally renewed.
You get a little glimpse right there into who Charlie Kirk was. And so it's weird, because Charlie Kirk would be the first one to say, don't hate on the person that assassinated me. Sure. He would say, hate doesn't belong in this world. And, you know, I want to hate on my relative who posted that stuff. I want to hate on the people that you see online that, oh, he deserved it. He was a hate speech guy. I want to be angry at those people. And I just, I want to give him a piece of my mind, but Charlie would just state the truth. He'd say, you know, what you're saying is not true, and he would leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you got to lead with love, like Christ.
Yeah. We're in a world, what was it? The natural man is an enemy to God, and these feelings we get, the feeling, I want revenge, I want... Even Donald Trump saying, you know, this guy deserves a death penalty. Maybe he does, but is that born out of hate? Is that born out of anger for what he did? Mm. Yeah, kind of. So.
And I definitely think he has to pay for it, and I definitely believe in the death penalty, so.
Now Jan says, if you get a chance, watch Charlie Kirk's interview with Governor Newsom. Mm. A good takeaway to remember him. I have not seen that, but that sounds like something pretty fascinating to watch, yeah. Right? Charlie Kirk and Gavin Newsom talking to each other. That might be worth watching. And again, if you have thoughts on this, 673-5890 is the phone number, or you can text me always at 435-467-5842. I also want to mention... Okay, big old egg on my face, right? Last week I talked about the home show at Dixie Convention Center and that I was going to be there. Oh, I am going to be at the convention, the home show, but it wasn't last week. It's this week. My wife, after I got off the air, she called me and said, hey, that's next week. That's not this week. I'm like, honey, I know you don't like to interrupt me when I'm on the radio, but if I'm saying something stupid, please interrupt me.
Please interrupt me.
So the home show is today, tomorrow and Sunday at the Dixie Convention Center. I'm sure this time I double check the dates. I will be there tomorrow from 11 to 1. Mm-hmm. I will have with me some Angelica's food, $10 gift cards, first come, first serve for anybody that comes and tells me how much they love Angelica's. And then I will have the big prize I'll be giving away in the second hour I'm there will be two passes to Lagoon, two all-day passes. That includes a water park and the whole shebang over there.
Fun.
So, and Lagoon is still open a little bit longer. So you could use those this year if, you know, if you're headed to Salt Lake anytime soon, Lagoon up there in Farmington, that would be a really cool price. Anyway, that's tomorrow, the Dixie Home Show. I'll be there from 11 to 1 tomorrow. It goes on today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So, and I'm sure of it this time. I didn't screw up, Mel.
Positively.
If you were here, you could have fixed me, Mel. I blame you.
It's my fault.
This is your fault
that
I'm an idiot.
It's always my fault, I know.
It's your fault that I'm an idiot. I don't know about that. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
All right, welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello Finlayson is here. Mello got a text during the break here. Mello, right. What did the text say?
So it's from Bob, and it says, disagree with Andy about Trump or anyone having hate as death penalty motive. Mm. Wanting justice is not about hate. It's about deterrence and punishment.
Interesting. But yeah. We could add, we don't have time for it, but it could spark a whole death penalty debate now. And honestly, for the most part, I'm okay with the death penalty. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, if you... The one in the news recently is visiting this Menzies guy that kidnapped and killed a lady back in 1986, which is 39 years ago, right? He'd been on death row for nearly 40 years. And their argument right now with the Menzies thing is look, he is... he's got dementia. He doesn't know what he did. And I was like, yeah, but he did do it.
Right. He'll remember real quick once he dies.
Yeah, that's right. he kidnapped and murdered a woman. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we shouldn't kill him because he doesn't remember it. And I'm like, and he doesn't have the option of, and I'm like, did that woman have any kind of option back when he kidnapped and killed her? No. Mm-hmm. So, right. I don't know. It's this whole death penalty with this guy, this Robinson guy.
Right.
I'm gonna let justice sort it out. But
right.
I don't know.
I think if the death penalty was a lot quicker, that it would deter more people.
Yeah.
And true. I have seen recently where youths that are like 14 to 17 have committed heinous crimes, and they think that they're getting off, and the judge actually throws a book at them. They're like, wait, what? No, I'm only 17. I shouldn't have to die for that. Mm. And so I think that could deter even youth crime.
I hope so. And I think maybe hates a little bit of the motivation for this, you know, President Trump saying that. But also, I think you're right. The deterrent part is a big part of it. If if a kid who has been playing Call of Duty and Fortnite his whole life thinks that shooting someone is funny and fun and whatever, and I don't know the mind of this guy, but then he finds out that, boy, if I do this, they're going to execute me. Mm-hmm. It makes it a little more real.
Right. And Utah still has the firing squad.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. From Jan, she was the one that referred us to watching the Charlie Kirk interview with Governor Newsom. She said it was very civil, and Charlie was able to redirect the conversation every time he needed to. But be prepared. Governor Newsom takes the Lord's name in vain every other sentence, it seems. Mm. Charlie shows his beautiful faith without anger. Be sure to watch the one with Charlie's ongoing commentary. That does bother me, the Lord's name. I hate that, and I don't know how. I'll have to watch it and see how Charlie handled that, because I need to learn how to handle that better. But I know when people use the Lord's name in vain in my presence, I wince. I don't.
Right, you don't love that. But.
So, real quick, before we wrap up the show, a couple of birthdays. Do you know Russell M. Nelson, president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, turned 101 years old? Yeah, I don't know if it was yesterday or day before yesterday, but 101 years old.
Wow, that's
pretty amazing.
It's pretty old.
My dad is 90. It's not his birthday, but he is 90. He still drives a car, and he's actually quite a good driver, if you want to know the truth. He is a better driver than a lot of people one-third his age, trust me. So when my wife and I were dating, there were two songs that were really popular. We were engaged and getting married and stuff, and everybody said, well, what's your song? You know, I got the song. Yeah, that's our song, right? Do you and Jeff have a song?
I have one that reminds me of him that's his ringtone.
Oh, really?
It's This Is How We Roll by Florida Georgia Line.
Oh, okay, country song. All right, nice. Back when my wife and I were dating, there were two songs that were really popular. Like, both of them were number one at some point during our engagement. One of them was a song called I Just Died in Your Arms by the Cutting Crew.
I remember that one.
And it sounds like Cutting Crew sounds like something out of the 50s. No, this was the 80s. But it's kind of funny now, right? All these years later, I read the lyrics, like, really carefully, and I realized that that song is actually about someone cheating on their loved one.
And that's your song?
It's a bad song. And so I kind of it's not our song anymore. It's not, we had two songs. The other one is much better, and you read the lyrics, and it's actually pretty good. And it's a song by a guy by the name of Peter Cetera. Now, Peter Cetera was a lead singer for Chicago, one of two singers for Chicago. And he went solo right around the time, just before we got engaged, and put out a couple songs. And one of the songs, his first hit as a solo artist, was a song called The Glory of Love. Do you remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did it all for the glory of love. And that song really spoke to my wife and I. And to this day, I hear that song and I'm like, yeah, that's about, you know, two young silly young people who fell in love and decided they couldn't live life without each other.
So you're going to sing a chorus for Shelley? She's listening.
No. she may or may not be. I found that because of her job and the nature of her job, she tries to listen, but, you know, if someone's in her office or she gets a call or whatever, she can't listen. So
and President Nelson's birthday was 9/9/24. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, so it was that's Tuesday, right? No, that's Monday. No, it's Tuesday. That was Tuesday.
I don't even know what today is.
Yeah, today is Friday, the 12th.
Okay.
So that would have been 3 days ago. That would have been Tuesday. Yeah, 101 years old. Anyway, back to the song, The Glory of Love. I would play some of it, but again, we have those BMI rules, and I have to pay if I were to play more than 30 seconds. So I'm like, I'm just not going to play it. But we all know the song, and you can go listen to it online if you want to. Free it on YouTube. If you have Spotify, it's free. If you don't mind commercials, and if you pay for the bonus, it's free. And I love that song. We did it all for the glory of love. And no, I'm not going to sing. But
I wish you would.
Maybe someday.
I hope
maybe
so.
Maybe someday.
Yeah, I'll take you to karaoke. We'll go.
Do you sing, Mello?
Do you?
Really?
I do.
What do you sing? Like pop music? Or
I like country
music
and folk.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a song like you're good at? Like one that you really like?
That I'm going to do on the air? No.
No.
Not today.
you read my mind. I was going to ask you to do a little bit of it.
I knew you were. I'll do them impromptu, like if we're like talking about something, but
I'm not going to make you sing them, but name a couple of songs that you like to sing that are, and see if I even know them, because they're probably newer country that I don't know.
No, I like some old country. I like Jolene.
Jolene,
by
Dolly
Parton.
That's a hard song to sing. Can you sing that?
It's really fast. I'm learning it on the guitar.
Because you got to have a lot of range for that thing. Dolly Parton had a high voice.
Yeah, I can sing high.
Really?
Yeah, nice. I can sing high. Okay. And then I'm learning also on the guitar, so I'm singing along with it, Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Oh, I love that song. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. I don't know, I just sing in the car. I don't know. I just like to sing. My name's Melody. Goodness sakes.
You better be able to sing something. Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah.
There's a guy, I think his name is, his last name is Hallie, H-A-L-L-E-Y. And if you go online, let me see if I can do a search for this Hallie guy. Brandon, Joe, no, that's not, maybe it's not Hallie. Maybe it's Bailey. I guess I need to look it up. But there's a guy online that does, I don't know if people knew this, the Billy Joel song For the Longest Time.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Joel went in studio like 20 times and sang every part to that song.
Oh, cool.
He's saying all the harmonies, every part of the song, including the main melody, he went in and recorded. And so when you hear it, For the Longest, you know, that song, mm-hmm. all the background vocals are him, which is really cool. So this guy, Brendan, I think is his first name. I need to work on his last name. But anyway, he does that, only he also, along with all the vocal parts, he makes the guitar sounds with his voice. He makes the drums
wow.
with his voice. He makes the bass guitar with his voice. So on screen, as you're watching his videos, there will be like 9 windows open all at the same time. And mm-hmm. they're all him at different times recording each part to the song. And it's absolutely, it's spectacular. It's amazing. I wish I had, I think maybe in his pinky, I have as much talent as in his little pinky. That's it. I mean, that guy is phenomenal.
And also so. Just real quick about Billy Joel. If you haven't watched the documentary about Billy Joel, it's on HBO. It is so cool. It is such a cool thing to kind of like go through his life and his music history and all of his experiences. And it's, I don't know, I really, really liked that documentary.
What's it called again?
It's just the Billy Joel, like, I don't know what the name of it is.
It's just a Billy Joel
documentary. Billy Joel documentary on HBO Max.
Jared Hallie is the guy's name.
Jared Hallie.
I found one of his songs, and he basically takes, you know, songs that are popular. He does, speaking of Billy Joel, he has several Billy Joel songs. He has several Elton John songs. He has Queen songs. And that will, I think we got 2 minutes left. I want to wrap it up. And maybe, I don't know if you've seen this or not, Mello. Online, so I was flipping through the Facebook the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I came across this flash mob. You know what a flash mob is,
yes,
right?
Yes, I love it. I think I saw the one you're talking about.
The Bohemian Rhapsody one.
Yes,
in France.
It was yeah. awesome.
So I was just flipping along, and a friend of mine had shared this, and I'm like, oh, I'll click on it and see what it is. And it's just a regular street corner in mm-hmm. with a kind of an outdoor cafe mm-hmm. in some small town in France. And up in the upper windows, they flip the shutters open and start singing the, you know, is this a real, you know, the start yeah. of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Uh-huh.
And then the lead singer comes in on a carriage
yes.
and they bring this kid in who's 11 years old playing the guitar.
Electric guitar. It was
and,
so cool.
Yeah. It's so I'm telling folks, too, if you'll search for Flash Mob and Bohemian Rhapsody,
mm-hmm.
you'll find it. And it is worth five to 7 minutes.
It was amazing, though.
It is worth your time.
And one thing about the Bohemian Rhapsody, really quick, when my sister passed away, she passed away in 2021, they were taking her in the, what is that, the hearse? They were driving
right,
her over,
right.
and they always keep it really quiet. But my sister loved rock music and old rock music like that. And Bohemian Rhapsody popped on while they were driving her over. And it was definitely my sister popping the radio on for us to hear about later. So Bohemian Rhapsody has a really close place in my heart.
By the way, a quote from a Heavy Metal World magazine, by far the best video of the year, a Bohemian Rhapsody flash mob has gone viral, and people are all saying it's the best thing they've ever seen online.
So go watch it.
I don't know if I'd go best ever, but really, really good.
I
shared it on my page, by the way. So if you can't find it by searching for flash mob or whatever, just go to Andy Griffin's feed on Facebook. I shared it. And again, it is totally worth watching.
So cute. And that little kid was so cute.
In a world with so much negativity going on right now, so mm-hmm. much downer, that's an upper. That is
it
really,
is.
Really
It is.
Cool.
Made me smile.
So, hey, everybody, thanks for listening today. I'm Andy. Mello is my sidekick on Fridays. Mm-hmm. I try to get her every day, but she's got, like, real jobs and
real
stuff
jobs,
to do.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll be happy with one day a week.
And, thanks, Andy.
We're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you on Monday.